So welcome to our third edition of Blues Talk, where I'm joined by Dave tonight, and we're going to discuss Leinster's match at the weekend against Munster and our upcoming Heineken match against Racing Matro in the RDS. So Dave, we just heard tonight that the Maffey's hearing, he got 7 weeks.
Yeah, we can take a look at the instance here. You can see, first of all, for the first one, Nathiel makes a great break. O'Leary gets in the way of the ref, which slightly, I'd say, unsights him.
He's on the ground there, so yeah. He completely misses it.
Yeah, Maffey comes from the blind side and whack. You can see it better here. Darcy's actually released the ball and then bang.
Could have broken his jaw, you know.
It was very, very serious. Yeah, I think it's notable that the one that he actually got the sighting for wasn't the one he was punished for at the time, because the ref was, as we say, sighted. Oh, he is, yeah.
He's that cold.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very, very, very serious incident. But, you know, I'd say what didn't stand in Maffey's favour is that he has a bit of a history of, tackles like that. And as you can see in the second one here coming up, first we've got Rob coming through on a good break. Doesn't look like much at first, because Tua Tupou makes what appears to be a very good tackle.
And, you know, He actually shows Maffey how to tackle correctly.
He
tackles the ball.
Yeah. But here we can see arm around the neck again, swinging arm around the neck, and the man is down. And of course, it all kicks off then. Everybody comes in. These players know it's a serious one. You know, they're all coming in. The Munster guys aren't exactly hauling them off with as hard as they can, you know. It's
I don't think that's as bad an incident as the first one.
It probably wasn't.
That's just a high tackle. Probably deserved 10 minutes.
Yeah.
The other one, he got 7 weeks for it.
Yeah. Well, he came in and he blindsided the guy. I mean, Darcy had released the ball and it actually hit off Maffey before he managed to hit Darcy. So that'll tell you.
Yeah. So anyway, great win there at the weekend. I mean, it was our first showing of any sort of form. You know, we came into the game. I don't know whether I was a bit apprehensive coming into the match. Just thought that our form wasn't good enough to beat Munster, and they really surprised me and put up a great display.
No, well, like you say, our form wasn't good enough. We know the team was good enough, but they hadn't played to that level yet this season. So the hope was always that the carrot or the target in front of them of the red jersey might make them lift their game, and they did. They did all the things that they hadn't been doing. The tackles were made.
Defence was outstanding.
Line speed was good. It was like the way we used to defend. You could see it. Munster would have been stopped on the gain line every time, and then when they tried to spread it wide, we were able to cover off, and the drift came across and just snuffed out everything. I mean, it seems to be a tactic to let, when we're playing Munster, because it's happened over the last, you know, five games. Soak up the pressure. Let them have as much ball as they want, as long as it's slow ball. And then see what they can do against our systems. And the answer is, at the moment, very little. I mean, it's five games.
Yeah.
That's what, 400 minutes since Munster have crossed our try line.
Mm.
You know, for a team like them, with the talent they have, that's a serious issue.
I mean, the try side, I thought O'Driscoll was absolutely outstanding. And you can compare and contrast to his form coming into that game, particularly against Edinburgh the previous week.
Oh, yeah. The previous week, he looked...
He looked disinterested.
Disinterested was the word I was going to use. Yeah, he looked disinterested. He wasn't doing those things that we know, the little bits of magic that we always see from Brian O'Driscoll. They were back.
Yeah, a couple of flipper passes. But just his aggression into the tackle. Like, he seems to speed up going into.
Yeah, he was taking the ball.
The ordinary mortal slows down as they're going to be tackled. He seems to just
increase. Well, I think we've established at this stage that Brian O'Driscoll is no ordinary mortal.
And, of course, speaking of no ordinary mortals, Johnny Sexton came back.
Oh, yeah.
30 minutes cameo, but really changed the game. I think himself and the introduction of Redden as well were really, really, you know, changed the game for us.
Well, what happened was they put structure onto the game. And with that structure, it allowed us to increase the pace that we were playing at. I mean, we'd started playing better from the start of the second half. We'd taken the pace up a bit. The Maffey sin bin actually... Munster outscored us during that period, but you know, we were beginning to do the right things. The ball was being moved quicker. We weren't making the mistakes we were making, which we made a lot of mistakes. Let's not forget on Saturday.
It was an incredibly sloppy first half. I can't remember us really knocking on that many balls. You know, just unforced errors. I mean, even when we had the opportunity, Ryan made a lovely break. Mm-hmm. He completely misread the overlap on his right and went and cut back inside when I think there was certainly one, if not two, guys on his outside, which is a certain try if he just managed to shift the ball out.
Yeah, well, I think some credit belongs to Johnny Murphy in that one. He took a lovely line.
Yeah.
He caused a split second's doubt in the young player's mind.
Yeah.
That's all it needed.
He had a fine game.
He had a very fine game.
He made
a
great tackle on Fitzgerald as well. Just hauled him down, just shy of the line.
Oh, I thought that was a stone bonker try, and Johnny Murphy just got in there and not just tackled the man, tackled the ball as
exactly,
well.
Exactly.
You know,
pushed it back over the line.
Yeah. No, it was a very fine piece of play from him.
And you know, Johnny been back now. You know, it's great to see him back and playing with confidence.
Oh,
you know, it must be hard because it was his first game back. And
well, it must have warmed his heart somewhat to see that when he appeared on the touchline, the entire stadium, or virtually certainly the blue part of the stadium, rose to acclaim him.
He's almost becoming a cult hero, and it's you know, it's only taken him a year to do it. I mean. Mm-hmm. When he came on as a replacement for Kantapomi in the semi-final, you know, I think he kind of won the hearts and minds of Leinster fans in that game, the way he was able to control it. I think maybe having a little bit of a go at O'Gara probably probably helped him as well. And of course, the drop goal and his kicking in the final over in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. But even last year, you know, I mean, he kind of solidified his place in the team. And
well,
he didn't have to go out and buy...
No, well, last year he grew into the role and became Leinster's starting half, unquestionably Leinster's starting out half. And obviously slipped into the Ireland jersey as well. Mm. The confidence of knowing that he was going to be picked obviously helped him.
Yeah.
It helps a guy to know that he's going to play every week.
But we've spoken about, you know, we've spoken in the past about having these guys ahead of the Indigenous player, where they learn from them. You know, you had, look at our back row, look how much Heaslip has come on since he played with Rocky Ellison. You know, you could even say Keane Healy benefited from playing with Ali Roux. And I think Sexton is in a similar vein with Kantapomi. You know, he's learned a lot of his trade from playing with an outstanding, one of the top three players in the world back in 2007.
Well, Sexton himself said it. When he first started breaking into the Leinster team, he was trying to be too much like Kantapomi. And what Kantapomi told him, and told him again, repeated to him again the morning of the final, just go out and be yourself, because that was good enough. And Sexton believes him and has taken inspiration from him and is playing Johnny Sexton's game, which is a very well-rounded game. I mean, he's a physically powerful tackler.
Yeah.
He's a good runner. He's a great distributor of the ball and he's a very good kicker.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the classic out half.
I think we'll talk about Sexton a little bit later when we're talking about the Heineken game, but just want to just talk about the stadium. What was your impressions of it? First full house in it.
Well, I think it's a great stadium. There are flaws. I mean, I'd be lying if I said there wasn't. Obviously, getting out of the place is a major flaw. Seats on the north end, are they too low? You know, it's very hard to get perspective on the game when you're pretty much on pitch level. I mean, we had to look at the, we could see what was happening, but we had to look at the big screen to tell where it was happening.
Yeah, but I've sat at, you know, in a similar kind of position in Croke Park, and you also have a fairly limited view. I mean, I'm sure we haven't sat in the north or south stands in the RDS, but I guess they're kind of roughly the same kind of view. You know, you're always going to have a lack of depth perception from sitting behind the goal line.
I'd say so, but it's, you know, it's one flaw in an otherwise magnificent stadium.
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere added.
Atmosphere was incredible, yeah. The atmosphere was incredible. You see, one of the problems that the stadium had, if you remember, was getting rid of the smoke after the fireworks.
Yeah, yeah.
But that just shows that there's no wind in the stadium, which makes it great for kickers. But it also means that all the sound from the crowd is focused on the pitch. There's nothing there to clear it away. So it means the players are really aware of what's happening behind them.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the game again with yourself on TV on Sunday, and the noise level was just exceptional. I mean, it reminded me of a Premiership soccer match.
Oh, it was non-stop. It was just from the moment the match started to the moment the match finished, it was non-stop.
Mm.
Both sets of fans gave their all to their teams, you know. If the teams left it behind them, they certainly couldn't blame the supporters, you know, because
exactly,
they gave their all.
Well, I mean, one thing I would say about where we were was we had a great view of Brian's try.
We did, and a fine try it was to watch as well. We can see it here. What really makes it is these repeated thrusts that are made. They look like individual thrusts, but what they're doing is they're pulling the Munster defence out of shape. So every time there's one guy up, players have, Munster have to commit players to it. Ball comes away again. It's the angle changing each time until finally we go here and we see that after this ruck, when Ryan gets the ball, what we actually have here is an overlap created by all those separate thrusts, and of course a lovely little flipper out the back from Sean O'Brien.
Yeah, he's come on as well, hasn't he?
Oh, he really has, yeah. Added responsibility, I think.
Yeah.
And we can see it again here. If you look here, when O'Brien takes the ball on, or not O'Brien, Ryan takes the ball on here, and then to O'Brien, there's actually a two-man overlap there. What's created that is the repeated thrusts and changes of direction that the Leinster players have made to suck in the Munster cover, so that we have that overlap, we have the opportunity out wide. And of course, Redden was the man to spot it and set the right player through. But it wouldn't have happened if the ball had died with O'Brien. That was the end of that move, and we'd have to set up again and go through phase play again.
But I thought we made a number of those opportunities in this game, which we haven't been making throughout the season.
No, we hadn't. I mean, there was the opportunity that Fitz got, and there was one or two other. Strauss was repelled on the line again by good Munster defending. What really helped is that the guys were running with the ball with confidence and with purpose. Mm. We saw there actually in the tackle that Matthew was in bin for, the way that Rob Kearney took the ball up. I mean, he was going with purpose, he was going straight, he was looking for, trying to identify a gap, and he was going to go for it.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, just, oh, what'll I do, oh, I'll kick it. He was going straight for it.
Like, you know, maybe that's actually a good thing that the new interpretation of the laws is allowing this season, is we do see a lot more running back with the ball rather than last year, where, or the year before, when the OVs were in, that ball would have been thumped back and back and back, ping pong, for 4 minutes until somebody made a mistake and kicked it out.
I think what we have are, between this year and the year we played under the ELVs, are two extremes. Under the ELVs, like you say, we had the kicking tennis. This year, it's become something like rugby league because there's no contest for the ball on the ground anymore. Yeah. And rugby is all about the contest for the ball.
But you saw, I mean, it worked in our benefit towards the last 2 minutes or five minutes of that match. Well, we must have had the ball for three minutes. Just little mini pod, just going in. One guy hitching onto the back of the ball carrier. There's no way you can defend against that.
No, it's impossible. And
I mean, Munster did it in the final in 2008 against.
Yeah, it was very highly criticised.
It was talked that was one of the instigators of the OVs coming in.
So what it is, it's a matter of striking a balance between, you know, the kind of the approaching rugby league situation we kind of have at the moment, where it's very impossible to contest for the ball. It's very difficult. And the EOV situation, where it was just, you know, a bit of a free-for-all and the ball had just been pinged from one end of the park to the other. It's up to the legislators just to... Because there's no law changes required. All that's required is the instruction.
Yeah. But, you know, you're always going to get different interpretations, you know, in the top 14, who were playing one of their teams next weekend. You know, the referees are still kind of playing to last season's interpretations. They're not really allowing...
Not necessarily a bad thing for us.
No, exactly, yeah. Just moving on to our match against Racing on Saturday afternoon. You know, they're coming in with a bit of form, Dave. Like, I think they're joint first in the league. They've won 6 of 8. They narrowly were beaten by Toulouse in Toulouse, which we obviously know from our own experience is a very difficult place to go to win. And they've got some outstanding players in their team, you know. Okay, I think maybe Chabal might be a little bit past it and just kind of a 30-minute impact sub. But, I mean, if you go through their team, you know, they've got Bergamasco, Stein...
Oh, they've got incredible players, Benjamin Fall.
He's injured.
Just in terms of their squad, just to show the depth of the squad they have.
Hernandez, who is injured
as well. But the talent they have, it's funny you mentioned Bergamasco. I can never make up my mind if he's a good player or just the luckiest player in the world. Because sometimes you see him and he looks absolutely brilliant on top of the ground, you know, unstoppable. And other times you look at him and you go, you know, your daughter could do better than that. You know, sometimes he just looks like a complete or a bluffer. But, you know, hopefully the bluffer turns up on Saturday, not the good footballer.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
So, I think he's going to start with Sexton and Redden.
I'd say so as well,
I think the centres pick themselves, providing Darcy doesn't have a hairline fracture. the back three, you know, I'm wondering whether he'll play Issa ahead of Shane.
Well, the question is, does he play Issa ahead of Shane? And if he does play Issa ahead of Shane, does he play him on the wing or a fullback? It's a question. You know, he might want to use Issa's vision as a strike runner from the full back position.
Yeah.
Wherever Issa plays in the back three, totally confident.
I think he's been an outstanding player this season.
Certainly has, and going back into last season as well.
Yeah.
So the big question is, I mean, Shane Horgan played very well against Munster. He was very aggressive. He was back to his abrasive best, you know.
Mm.
Used his power, used his height really, really well. So, you know, he's done nothing to deserve to be dropped.
No, but I think the game did change when he went off. Now, I know he went off with blood,
mm-hmm.
and they brought Sexton and Redden on, and they were more the impetus rather than Shane. It wasn't a tactical substitution, but I thought the team played, you know, marked improvement in the 30 minutes that Sexton was on.
Yeah, I think that definitely is more to do with the halfbacks.
Mm.
Although, you know, having Issa in a position where he can come from deep is always, it's always beneficial because he is that good.
Yeah.
You know, well, if I find it very hard to see him dropping Nathiwa, but if he didn't, I would be confident of Horgan playing well. He seems to. When Horgan's on form, he's devastating.
Hmm. Any word on Cullen? Do you think he'll be back in time?
Well, the word was the decision was going to be made on Thursday. What that means nowadays, when squads are named with virtually every player on the roster,
correct? Yeah.
You know, so it's impossible to say.
I thought Toner had an exceptional game out of touch. You know,
yeah, I thought he did as well. Yeah,
He won most of his own ball, and he's managed to snaffle a few off the Munster.
Well, he was up against a couple of highly rated, you know, in some cases overrated guys.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they are top players. Ryan O'Callaghan and O'Driscoll came on. All top-rated guys, so to be living in that company, all experienced, for a young guy like Toner is good going. I mean, he certainly held his own, and you know he is a devastating presence at the lineout. He really is. And what people often forget looking at him how he's long and spindly. He's a big, heavy lad.
Mm.
You know, people often say, why doesn't he put on more weight? Why doesn't he put on more weight? He really can put on more weight because he wouldn't be able to lift him. I mean, he's pretty much 20 stone as it is.
But he
uses that power well in the scrum. We always seem to scrummage well when Toner's playing.
So, following week, Saracens, you know, Saracens are third. They've won 4 from 5 in the Aviva Premiership. And they beat Leicester at the weekend. So they're going pretty good.
Yeah, they are. They're going really, really well. Beating Leicester anytime is always a good result. English teams have a history of, they take the Heineken Cup very seriously. And they take their home games very seriously. But sometimes they can be they can be got at away from home. We've certainly got at some of them in the past. We got at Leicester. We got at Wasps.
We destroyed Wasps.
We destroyed Wasps. Well, we did, yeah. But, you know, it's always hard to know, it's always hard to say with English teams, you know, because you never really know what's going on in their heads.
Maybe the Saracens boys were down having a few beers over in Germany.
They might have brought a bit of Oktoberfest home with them. But Saracens will be a very, very tough test.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going to a game in Wembley.
So am I. The last time a Cahill was in Wembley was in 1967 when my uncle played in the Wembley Cup final, which was a GAA competition.
Really?
So hopefully now this Cahill will have more luck than my uncle Cormac, who managed to lose.
Speaking of famous people playing in stadiums, poor old Moskeen died today.
Yeah.
62.
A sad loss to Irish rugby. Sad loss to Irish society. I mean, he was such a nice man. He kind of epitomised an era of Irish rugby when it was fun. The game was fun. It was fun to play. It was fun to watch. The guys who were playing, guys like Moss, who were big men but with characters to match. He was a huge character.
Yeah.
And he was always ready with a word, always ready with the one-liner, you know. He was just such a great guy.
Yeah. The first Five Nations match I went to was in January 1982, and it was against Wales, and that was the year that they won the Triple Crown that Moss made a big contribution to. And it's a very sad day, and we wish his family the very best on this sad day.